This is week two of our two-week little mini-series on community as we launch groups this week. Yeah? Exciting? But yeah, we just wanted to have more of a practical discussion. And again, not with like experts on the issues, right? These are people from your community, myself included. You know, group and community is not for the super Christians or the pastors. It's for everybody. It's a gift that everybody can have. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce our panel. First up, we have Jay Hester. You can clap for him. That's cool. Officially titled our small group coordinator. Yeah. I think I read that last night or something. But in all honesty, has been just leading and serving in groups for, I don't know, multiple decades. You don't look a day over 30, so I don't really know how you've logged that much, you know, time, Jay. But sincerely, just a lot of wisdom in the area. Glad to have him up here, hear his perspective. So that's Jay. We have Sandra, or Sandra. She said she prefers either one. I asked her this morning. But sincerely, you and your husband, Mike, both are a gift to our church. When I met you, I swear you hadn't been here for like a couple of weeks, but you were already serving on a team. You were in a group. I was like, who is this woman? This takes people like years to do what Sandra was already involved with. And so, yeah, you just jumped in. I don't know if you were scared to jump in, but you did it. And so that's awesome. And we appreciate you guys. We have Amy Durenberger. You can clap for her. Yeah, I mean, my wife and I have been friends with you and your husband for a while now, gotten to walk through community. And not only are they excellent at leading and contributing to a group, but if you've never met their little son, Jacob, he's one of the cutest kids in here for sure. But yeah, y'all brought him in and he kind of became a part of our group. He was like, we took attendance and said Jacob was a guest. Not really. But yeah, just watching y'all bring your kid into community really inspired me as a person. And so I'm really, really glad that you're here to share that perspective. And then this is my wife. Her name is Bree. Again, I call her Bree. If you would like her to like you, you should probably call her Breezy. That's what her family called her whole life. And then I stepped in and changed everything. But if you want brownie points, call her Breezy. Yeah, just gotten to obviously personally watch her walk with people compassionately, guide them through tough seasons in their life, kind of have that perfect balance of truth and love with people. And again, just glad that you're here to share your perspective. So I'm Bo, if you don't know me, I'm the community pastor here. And again, we just want to have a really practical discussion about community that kind of helps all the different areas of life that we're in. You guys might share those different perspectives or personalities, and I think it'll be really cool to hear from different people. So before we start asking questions, though, I'm going to read a verse that Mitch put up on the screen last week. If we got Acts 2:42, we got it back there? Yes. This is just kind of our grounding scripture for groups. Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles, and all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need, and every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So, not going to spend very long on this, but again, this is the first time we ever see post-Jesus resurrection. The apostles just experienced the Spirit falling in the upper room, right? This is the first kind of prescriptive model of church that we get. And if we're going to trust any model of church, I think that's the one, right? And laced through it, right, is this idea of community, right? They devoted themselves to fellowship and to the breaking of bread. And that's not just like casual social interaction, right? That fellowship word is the same word that describes our relationship with God. So we're talking about close relationships with one another. They shared the resources for anybody that had need, and they met daily, not just in the temple like what we're doing here, but they met in each other's homes, as weird as that sounds. You know, we're a real, real private culture here. But they met in their homes daily and worshiped God. And the only other thing I want to point out is like, see what happened to their community when they devoted themselves to these things. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And then signs and wonders were happening in their midst. I'm not saying that those things are exactly going to happen in our midst in the same exact way, but I'm saying when we devote ourselves to these things, especially to fellowship, I think we're going to see revival that maybe we've wanted to see for a while. So, amen? Okay, I'm going to shut up. You're going to hear from these other people. Bree, we're going to start with you. You've already got the mic. It's perfect. I think that church can feel culty at times. I think I tell these people they want to meet in homes, and they're like, I don't know what's going on behind those closed doors. I don't know if there's weird sacrifice ritual things happening. But let's just clear that up. If nobody's asking that question, it's okay. But yeah, what happens in kind of a typical small group? What can people expect if they come into your home?
Yeah, so, man, this is weird. Yeah, so Bo and I have been a part of groups for a really long time, and we led a group for a while, and we really just tried to structure it similar to the Acts 2, 42 through 47 that he just read. We also kind of wanted to have a similar structure of what it looked like to spend time with Jesus, so when you left group, that wasn't like something weird and hard. That you had something that you could lean on to whenever you're trying to do that at home alone. And so really our group started out with just like a time of fellowship, food, snacks kind of thing. And then we entered into a time of worship. And then after that, we just kind of dived into scripture together. We went through a book and asked those similar questions that Kristen and Melissa talked about. And then at the end of that, we tried to make a challenge, something practical that you could do at the end of your, or throughout your week to make the scripture a part of your life, whatever we're learning about. And then we just ended with coming together and praying for one another. So yeah, that's kind of what we did in our group.
Yeah, well, you can pass the mic. Anybody else that wants to maybe share what their experience is?
So just from a very practical standpoint, typically in our group, 6:30, is about when it starts. It's cool to come late. From 6:30 to 7, we're usually doing a meal. And like I said, some people get there right at 6:30. Some people can't get there till 7:10. It's like, whatever, it's cool. Glad you came. And so we eat. And then around 7, I really try to get everybody to come on, man. Let's get together
to yell.
In a circle. Yeah, sometimes my wife likes to visit with people for a while after that. And so because that's the best part, maybe, the fellowship. That may be what people need most of all. Then we typically do, for our group, we do a study, which is just a review, how to practically apply what's been preached on Sunday. And then we'll share prayer requests. I left this out about 7 to get everybody to stop talking. I go ahead and play a song. We play a worship song.
I've been in a home. I found it comforting. I didn't feel... I felt comfortable being in it was their group, the first group that I, in a home that I attended. And I felt so comfortable. I didn't feel like I had to share right away. I can just sit there and just listen to everybody. I didn't feel pressure. I didn't feel like I had to, know what they were talking about because I didn't. I didn't know. So it was great for me. Great experience.
I mean, I think everything was covered.
Yeah, you don't.
I don't want to repeat what's already been said.
But
yeah, I think. Yeah. I actually think what you said, that's like going into somebody's home can be weird. Mm-hmm. It can feel awkward. For me, it does. But once you're there, if you just get up the nerve to go and do it, once you're there, that awkwardness goes away. You know, because I think when you're in someone's home, there's this idea of just relaxed and there's a comfort feeling. It's not like being like in a formal setting where you feel like you have to act a certain way or you have to like be a certain way. And so you're in a home that you just hang out. I know when we were in your group, it was kind of a thing where like you don't knock on the door and you don't ring the doorbell.
Well,
you just walk
unlocked,
on in. Like that's how you know you're like, welcome, and you're with family, and you're with people that love you, because you can just walk on in, because they expect that. And so I think that that's kind of like that just makes you feel good, because you're not there's not a lot of expectation for a certain way of doing things.
For sure, and I think it's good to point out too that especially here at our church, we've got kind of different styles of groups per se. Like Jay's talking about, they kind of discuss what we talk about on Sunday. I know that y'all's group with Diana Payne, y'all like deep dive homework throughout the week, Bible study. There's just all sorts of different kind of variations that you can get involved in, whatever kind of you have space and time for. But okay, now that we've cleared that up, meeting in homes isn't weird, I promise. We clearly like think this is a big deal at our church. That there's a reason we spent 2 weeks talking about it and have y'all up here. But yeah, with Jay starting out, why would we consider this essential to our walk with the Lord?
So I'm gonna start with Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, which says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another." So right in the middle of that, you know, that's the verse we use to say, hey, you ought to go to church. And that's true. You ought to do that. But check this out. The beginning of the verse says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." Now, that's kind of hard to do here on Sunday morning. You know, if you know half the people here, you're like leading the pack. But we're supposed to encourage one another. And I think that in a home, it's much more practical to do that. You know, we know Sandra and Mike because they've been to the house many times. And as you get to know people, you know their needs, you know how they need to be encouraged, and they get to know you and encourage you. So I don't think it's real practical to do that verse by yourself. And I also thought of this for those of y'all that are into sports. I don't know any great athlete that did it themselves. I just trained by myself. I don't have a coach. I don't have anybody encouraging me. It's like if you really want to grow, I'm like, man, you need some other people, and more than just in the big group. I heard you can worship with a group, a big group, but you can't really fellowship with the big group. You got to really get it broken down to smaller groups, which is why we make it a big deal.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, something that I feel like when we take a look at Scripture, we see throughout the Bible, and especially in the New Testament, that people are living life with one another. There's never a time that they're like off on their own. And even when Jesus sent the disciples out, he sent them two by two because he knows that we need one another, and there's like strength in numbers. We can lean on one another, encourage one another. We're carrying one another's burdens. And so,
Yeah, I'll jump in here real quick. I think, like you said, it's clearly like the expectation of Scripture that everybody's living life together, but I want to highlight something that Mitch talked about last week. A quarter of your New Testament are phrases and commands about loving one another, like forgiving one another, submitting to one another. Like, if you want to obey the Bible, you will not be able to do it if you're just kind of alone in your prayer closet every day and you're not spending time with other people. So it's the model that we're presented with in Scripture, but it's also, if we want to be people that obey the Word, we got to do it. So sorry for you introverts. Yeah, anybody else want to share? Then I'll add one more thing. I was expecting somebody else to pop in there. The other kind of aspect of this is that you were baptized into a body. So you individually are a part of a body. You might be a foot. You might be a toe. I don't really know. This is all metaphorical. But not only can you not really exist on your own, people can't exist without your help. And so you being baptized into a body, that's not just a metaphor. It's like a real thing. You have gifts to offer, talents to offer. You have perspectives to offer people. When you're baptized into a body, you're meant to give that to other people. So, yeah. Okay, let's get a little personal. We've kind of been abstract. I just want to hear kind of testimonies about how community has impacted your life. Whoever wants to share first. I think, I said Amy. Yeah, my bad. That's my bad. I missed the script.
Okay, so I'll tell a personal story. And I think this story probably is familiar and similar to a lot of stories that people can tell if you've been in church and in groups. But we're coming up on a year ago. It was right after Jacob's first birthday. He got sick. And, babies get sick a lot. And so you're just kind of like trying to weigh out what's going on. And things were not improving after a day. So I'm like, okay, he wasn't eating. He was throwing up food. He wasn't taking milk. He wasn't taking water. Things were getting concerning. Called the doctor. It could be a virus, could be the flu, could be a lot of things. But their biggest concern when a baby's sick like that is dehydration. So they're like, if he goes 12 hours without a wet diaper, you need to take him to the ER. So, okay, we keep waiting and trying, and things are just not improving. And anyway, Saturday morning, we said, we're going to the ER. And we get up, we head to Texas Children, and we get there, let him know what's going on. Doctors come in, they're kind of doing an assessment, trying to figure out, and basically within, what, an hour of us being there, the room is flooded with doctors and nurses, and they're coming in and they're saying, your son needs emergency surgery and he has to go now. He's being bumped to the top of the list. We will prep him now. He needs surgery. And you talk about, like, I mean, I had no words. Like, there's a part of me going, okay, you know what's wrong with him. That's good. But then wait a minute, surgery, like, he's a baby and you're going to take him and he's got to go like under anesthesia and like they're going to hook him up and cut him open and do like real, like I was like, I don't know what was going through my head. It was a million things at once. All I knew is we needed to pray. And at that moment, my husband and I, we get on our phones, you know, in the midst of doctors and nurses and all this stuff coming, and they're trying to talk to you, and they're, you know, of course, they have to tell you all of the risk involved, and that just sends you into craziness. But yeah, we start texting. We texting our groups. We're texting all of our you know, church community. I'm sending out the message in mom's group. We're just saying, please pray. Start praying, because we don't know what is going on. We don't know like the severity of it, or I mean, we're glad that the doctors can say that they know that this is going to help. But when your baby's going into surgery, this is scary. And yeah, I mean, within minutes of us sending out the prayer alerts, it was like flooding, you know, everyone's texting and calling and letting us know that they're praying for us, they're there for us, because even though we know in our hearts, you know, to pray, but when you're in that moment and you're walking through a lot of like, like you just don't know and you're confused, it's hard to just sit in a minute and like focus your brain to like pray, like you know you're supposed to, but it's hard to like start, just stop and pray. But knowing that everyone that we have around us was praying for us, there was comfort in it, there was peace in it, and we couldn't have had that if we didn't have community, if we didn't have people in our corner that we knew that we could reach out to. And that was the thing. We didn't feel like a weirdness or a pressure or anything, like, you know, like, oh, should we ask or should we say anything? Like, that wasn't even a thought in our head. These were people we knew we could depend on and we can trust to be there. And what I think kind of put it over the edge when it comes to, like, you know, people and being there for people and then being in community, it didn't just stop with, yeah, we're praying for you. We ended up having to stay in the hospital for 2 more days after Jacob's surgery. And people showed up. Like, we had people calling and sending us food to the hospital. We had some of our people in our friend group and our community, like, drive to the hospital to come check on us. How are you doing? Do we need to get you anything? It was just, you know, overwhelming that's the love that you experience. And so, you know, kind of like what you said, Bo, like, you people need you and you need them, and you can't do this. You know, it's easy to walk into a church service and you kind of just sit by yourself and you do your thing and then you leave. But when it comes to living out our walk and our faith in real life, in real time, you can't do it by yourself, and you've got to have people in your corner when it comes, when rubber meets the road and things are getting hard. You know, who are you leaning on, and who are you calling to be there? Because things get hard, and sometimes in those moments, it's hard to pray for yourself. It's hard to get on your knees for yourself, because there's a lot of emotion going on and things that you just can't, you know, you can't process. And when you know you've got people to lean on, it makes all the difference in the world.
That's so good. And it's like, surface level relationships aren't going to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you have to know those people deeply, for sure. Anybody else want to share?
Going what you were saying, I can't imagine not having this family, this community, this church, just from not knowing what groups were before. I've been walking with the Lord for about a year and a half, and just, I didn't know anything before about community or groups. I've heard about it, but I was like, what is that? What, you have friends, right? You can call, and but, you know, you're out in the world, and it's just not the kind of support that you need. And, you know, going through something just hard to just recently, I reached out to my my friends from my Bible study group, and I said, I just need you to pray. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to pray for. Can you just please pray for this? And I mean, immediately responses, like, we're praying for you. I even got a phone call from our leader in my Bible study, and that just made me feel so good, so welcome and encouraged, and know that I'm loved and that I have a family here and that they care for what I'm going through. That encouragement was amazing. Like, I can't even describe it. So yeah, definitely we can't do it alone, and can't do it out in the world. It's just, it's not the same. You know, it's just not the same.
That's good. I'll share a little bit if that's okay. I'm going to see if y'all popped your hand up or something. Yeah, I think that for me, when I first entered into community, you know, your sin struggles, your life in general can feel very isolating, but you go into a group setting and it's like, oh, like, these are all normal people. They struggle with some of the same stuff that I do. And I don't know, that might not should be comforting. I don't know, you should be concerned about people. But for me, that was very comforting to know that other people, yeah, struggled with the things that I did. And it's like, okay, like, you can hold me accountable, because like, you're probably way ahead in this process than I am. And that was super cool to just not be alone. And I think it brought accountability to my life as well. So yeah, anybody else want to share?
Yeah, another piece that was like really impactful for me when I first joined community is like, I felt like I knew nothing. Like, people were telling me, oh, you need to pray, or you need to read the Bible, or you need to give. And like, joining a community, those people were already doing those things, and they got to show me how to do that. And it wasn't in a judgmental way, it was like in an excitement, let me walk alongside you and like show you this is how I pray, and like, I'm gonna encourage you to do the same. And they're gonna have conversations with me about questions that I have. And so it was like such an impactful time of growth for me to learn how to like live this life that we're asking people to live and follow Jesus.
That's awesome. We're gonna head to the next question, but last thing I'll say with that is, you learn by watching other people. It's called apprenticeship to Jesus. Look up John Mark Comer. He talks about it. So I'm going to start with Sandra. I think I want to discuss kind of some roadblocks. We have talked about community, and you might be like convinced that it should be a part of your life, but you're still like, but this, you know what I mean? And so I just want to maybe go through a couple of just common roadblocks. And I want to start with you, because a lot of people feel intimidated by groups. You jumped in, that wasn't maybe your story, but you know, they don't feel like they know enough. They don't feel like, or they do feel like everybody else knows a lot. And so I don't know, how would you encourage a person feeling intimidated to go to group anyway and enjoy it?
Well, I would say just jump in is what I did. Like I said, I didn't know anything about groups before. I didn't know what it meant. I hadn't read the Bible before. Like, I didn't, you know, I've heard things and, you know, seen verses here and there, but I didn't know what they meant. And it's the blessing that it's been by joining groups. It has been unmeasurable. It's just been such a gift from God. I just can't imagine not doing it. To church on Sunday was great. I love it. I love to come every Sunday, but it wasn't enough. I feel like I needed to do more. And I've seen, you know, Pastor Mitch saying, you know, if you want to join a group, you know, fill out the red card. And I was like hesitant, because I could talk myself out of doing things very easily, especially when, you know, I don't know anybody or I didn't know what I was doing. And so I just looked at my husband and said, I think I'm going to join a group. Actually, that's not right. I was talking to one of the leaders at one of the my Bible study. That was my first group that I attended. And she made it so easy, so comfortable. And just when she emailed me the questions, you know, this is what we do. We answer three questions. We read this scripture. And I was like, yeah, no, I don't think I can do that. And they were in the middle of the chapter already. They have already gone through halfway. So that was my excuse to say, you know what, I'm just going to get out of it. I'm just going to tell her, I'm just going to wait until the next one, you know, to start from the beginning, because I was just so, I was afraid. I was intimidated by it, just thinking that, you know, the other members that were going to be there were just going to be, they're going to know so much more, and I'm just going to look like a fool, not knowing what kind of questions to ask. And so, but then I told her that. I said, you know what, I'm just going to wait. And no, she reached out to me and said, just come. You don't have to say anything. Just say it and try it. Just, you know, just do it. And I said, okay. So I went ahead and I did, and that's what I did. I just sat there. I listened to everybody. I saw that everybody was going through the same, I mean, they were going through something, struggles. You know, nobody had a perfect life. Nobody, but it was so encouraging, and I just, I loved it. I met some wonderful ladies, I just can't, I can't imagine just not doing it and just Sunday and that's it. Like, it's just, it's not enough for me. And I just can't, I just want to just encourage anybody that is unsure or thinking about it, do it, you know, just do it. The blessing that is there is amazing. You know, God has so much to give us. I'm so passionate about it now. Like, I can't wait for our groups to start next week. So, yeah.
So start this week, right? Okay, Tuesday, Wednesday. So I want to just echo what Sandra said, that this is not a pressure thing. This is not a test to see who's most spiritual. So basically, we may ask you to share your name and something like your favorite soda pop or something like that. But other than that, you don't have to answer the deep questions. And also, in case you don't know this, if you're a baby Christian, we're excited to see you. We're excited to see the opportunity for you to grow. So it's not a pressure thing.
I just kind of want to echo what Jay said, that the people that have a lot of knowledge are really excited to share it. My husband being one of them, he loves theology, such a nerd. and I will tell you, like, if you ask him a question, he gets so excited to share that with you. It's not a judgmental thing, like, you don't know that already, or why would you think that way? And anyone that's like that, that's in these groups, I've experienced the same thing. They're, like, excited to talk to you. They're going to walk with you through that and just kind of make you feel really comfortable. And so I would just show up and ask questions and be vulnerable and, like, be okay with, like, not knowing.
Yeah, you have something to give. That's the point there. I want to start and finish this question with Jay, because we don't have much time left, but I think this is a really important one. Another roadblock for people is busyness. We've talked a lot about this, so I know you're going to come heavy-handed, and I love it. People struggle to fit anything into their schedule because we're just all so busy. But yeah, how would you encourage someone to fit groups into their schedule and their excuses? Hey, I'm just too busy.
So 34 years ago, I was a super busy guy. And I was at a youth ministry conference, and my eyes laid hold of this beautiful woman named Kristen.
Woo!
And suddenly, though I was busy, I had time, okay? And so my point is, you got to prioritize, man. You got to figure out what is really important to you. And I'm just telling you, in the long term, there's not anything more important than your spiritual life. And so, and you can't wait till you're 80 to go, okay, I'm going to get it together, because you'll have missed a tremendous life that's available to you and a tremendous opportunity to serve the Lord. There's joy in that. So what I'm saying is, we have time for the things we really value. Like they say, if you really want to know what somebody prioritizes, look at their calendar and look at their wallet. So, you know, I found room in both of those for Kristen and found lots of it. And so, you can do the same too. So if you truly want to grow, I'm just telling you, man, you can accelerate it so much by getting around other people. And if you say, well, yeah, but I'm growing a long way already, God wants to use you to help these younger Christians. So I think it's a real opportunity. And I'll just say, for guys, you know, we think, oh man, I'm macho and I'm not going to share anything. We need it more than others. Okay, because we got to get real. and move on and progress.
So good, so good. Yeah, we can give the mic to Bree. And just to close, I kind of want to ask each of y'all just a personal question. These represent different stages of life, different personalities, and I just kind of want to let them speak into something that's unique about them that might be unique about you and kind of like give their sales pitch to you for why you should attend groups. So, yeah, I mean, Bree, you are the kind of person that, like, I would be excited to go into a room full of 15 people to hang out. You are terrified by it. That's your worst nightmare. You're an introvert. And so I know there's a lot of people that share that. And so, yeah, how would you encourage an introvert to step into group? What would you say to them?
Yeah, so, I mean, it is really scary. I feel like there's kind of, like, two parts to play, like, specifically for me. And one, like, being introverted and, like, shy is not necessarily, like, the same thing. But anyways, being introverted, I think a lot of things drain us, and so like small talk is one that really drains me. And honestly, I think you kind of have to power through it a little bit. You're gonna show up. Something that I do sometimes, like when I'm really nervous or I'm dreading small talk, is practically I think about small conversation starters that I would want to talk to someone about. And so like if you're an introvert, I don't know, maybe prepare like a couple of things that you would be comfortable with. And then on like this shy social anxiety side, there's like a lot of fear going into a group. I think that I'm really concerned about how people are perceiving me, and there's like this just a lot of fear. And so something that I've kind of like done to overcome that is, one, like addressing the thoughts that are running through my head when those things happen, like, oh, they're gonna think I'm not enough because I compare my personality to their personality, and like addressing that thought, stopping it. That's not true. Like God created me perfectly, and I have value in the personalities that he gave me. And so I think reminding yourself of that. And then two, I kind of put on this hat sometimes. It's just like being really intentional. Like, I want to be that person that I would want to meet and make myself, like, I want to meet someone that I feel comfortable seeing, known, like they actually care about me. And so whenever I walk into that room, I want to try to do the same and kind of approach them how I think Jesus would approach them.
And just to encourage my wife / tell y'all something. I mean, my wife, social anxiety wise, like, sometimes you're afraid to call like a pizza delivery guy to order a pizza, you know what I mean? And so, but like over the past few months, like even here at church, like I'm seeing you meet new people. You're just walking up to random strangers and being like, hey, like, who are you? You know? And yeah, I think it goes to that point that she's saying, like, she's willing to put on the servant-hearted hat for that moment. And so it's possible. Introverts, this is your example. Yeah, let's go to Amy. Just a lot of parents, mothers in the room. I don't have kids. I don't know the difficulty. But again, we got to see you walk through it, bringing a kid into a group and just, yeah, not pausing your community life just because you had a kid. And I want you to encourage people how to do that.
I think it kind of piggybacks off of some things that Jay said and Sandra's, you know, just do it. You just got to get in there and just do it. Life is going to be crazy with kids. And my husband and I, we're still in the beginning stages of parenthood. Jacob is going to be 2, and we have 1 on the way. Surprise, if anyone didn't know. So we're in the little stages, and it definitely has its challenges too, because I will tell you that there's a lot of pressure, especially I feel like moms feel a lot of pressure to be certain ways with your babies and your kids. You know, you got to be on a schedule, and you got to do this, and you got to have this, and you got to do all these things. And you can feel very like guilty. There's mom guilt really strong, you know, when it comes to your babies about doing things. But I think when you really come down to it as a parent, you have to remember that you're the shepherd of your home, and you are the one that puts together, you know, your priorities and the values and the things that you want your home to have, that falls on your shoulders. And so what you schedule and what you prioritize is going to be what your child sees that we have value in. Okay, we have if going to a group night, and even if it's, you know, you're calling a babysitter and you're leaving your kids at home so that you and your spouse or just you can go to a group, that's putting spiritual nourishment into you first. That's not selfish. That's necessity for your home and for yourself. And then also, if it means packing up the kids and taking them with you, you know, we try to have someone at our house to watch the kids so that people don't have to worry about that. You can just come on over, bring the kids, they can play, and someone can watch them while we meet. So it's something that you have to determine right up front and say, you know what? In my house and under our roof, we're going to serve the Lord and we're going to prioritize spiritual nourishment and spiritual disciplines, and community is part of that, and Bible study is part of that. And I think showing your family that you're this is the thing that you value, and that may mean giving up certain things. And I know that sounds harsh sometimes, because I know our kids can be a lot of the reason why we're busy. Lots of extracurriculars, lots of things that we have to get done, you know, between school and bedtime. There's a lot going on. Like, I know that that is there and it exists, but I think we have to be careful what we fill our calendar and what we fill our day with, because I'll just say it, this may, I don't know how people feel about it, but I really think the enemy really wants to attack us through our families. And I personally think that and the way the enemy does it is to keep you isolated and to keep you busy. Because if he can keep you away from people that are going to help you and people that are going to lift you up and support you and give you spiritual nourishment, then you're dead in your tracks. And so I think that we have to hold on to our families and be the leader of our family and prioritize that this is more important to us, you know. And kids are resilient. They will bounce back, you know. If he misses a bedtime and it's a little later than normal, we didn't get a bath tonight, it'll be fine. We'll bathe him tomorrow. He will be, like, there are things that you can make concessions for and it will be okay.
So good. Thank you. Yeah. I know we've already touched a little bit on it, Sandra, but I think specifically for people who feel either new to our church or new to the faith, that was your experience when you came here. And again, you jumped right in. And so for people that are new, what would you kind of say to them?
You know, so I was walking in this morning, I saw the prep that's outside that says, dive in.
Do it.
When I started coming to this church about a year and a half or so ago, I was new, obviously, to the church. I was new to Huntsville, and I was new in my walk with the Lord. Like, I was going through something very difficult at the time, and I, a person that I love very much was, and a Christ follower, and so I decided that I needed to know Jesus, and I needed to also be a Christ follower to be able to help her, to be able to talk with her. And so that's what, you know, got me into it, and loved the church as soon as I stepped foot in it, and then and joined my first Bible study pretty much right away. I needed it, and I needed something else than just the world out there or the friends that I had out there. And so I was, you know, welcomed the Bible study. Ladies, like I said, were awesome. I needed someone to pour into me. I didn't know what that meant, but I needed that. And so I found that, and from there I continue. After attending, you know, the Bible study, then I joined Jay and Kristen's group, another blessing. And then from there, a few months into it, I felt like now it was maybe my time to give back. I didn't know what that meant. I just felt like I could be used in some way. I'm kind of like a customer service type person. I said, well, maybe if I can be up front helping, I don't know. Like, I didn't know what to do or where to go. So that's when I decided to fill out that red card. You know, I said, well, we'll see what happens. And immediately I was reached out by Pastor Mitch, and I am so, so thankful. He walked me through it, the different areas. There's different areas where you can serve. We all have gifts. I didn't know serving was a gift. you know, you learn that, and there's something that you can give to someone else, you can pour out to somebody that needs it. So yeah, just don't hesitate. The leaders, our church, our pastors are so amazing. I am so blessed to be a part of this family. I feel like it's a family now, you know, a great community. I want to share a quick story. Several months ago, I was in Mexico and I was visiting my mom, and I was also talking to one of my aunts, and I was sharing with her what I've learned. She's never read the Bible, but was going to church and a different Catholic, right? She was, and so I was trying to share what I had learned and my passion now, what I wanted to share. When she told me that she's never read the Bible, I was in shock. I mean, honestly, I was. And I said, okay, you know, aunt, this is what I do. I pull out the YouVersion app. I read a verse a day and go through it. And then I texted Pastor Mitch, just like, hey, do you have anything you can share with me so that I can share with my aunt? And he sent different things immediately in Spanish. I mean, it was, because this was Mexico. I just felt like, you know, I belong, that this is a family. So, yeah, feel free to reach to anybody. They're be so eager to do this with you, just like they did with me.
That's good. Last question, and then we'll close. Jay, you know, our groups are packed with women. We do not have a problem getting women to join a small group. But we do have a problem with men, and I think it's deeper than just like a surface level, we have more women than men. I think it's like just a common issue of being vulnerable and open. So yeah, you as a guy, you know, how would you encourage men to join a group?
Well, as I was saying before, I think guys need it more than women. They're a little better at community than we are. We're a little more, you know, keep it to ourselves, but that's not the way God wants it. He wants us to open up. And I think for everybody, I would encourage you to consider it this way. You know, it's more blessed to give than receive. And what that means to me is that when you give of yourself, like if you'll go with the intent, I'm going to go help somebody else, I'm going to go meet somebody else's needs, that you'll receive more than you give. I mean, you hopefully go into it to honor the Lord. It's like Bree said earlier, who are we worshiping anyway? Are we worshiping ourselves? Am I just going, okay, what's in it for me? All this. It's like, no, Jesus, you know, he paid the price for us. And so Let's go honor him and all we do. And I think guys particularly need to take that approach, need to step up, need to be vulnerable, and go for it. But like I said, you don't see people accomplish great things by themselves. You get people around you that help you with that, and same thing in the spiritual world, which is more important than any other world.
Let's give it up for these wonderful people. Thank y'all so much for doing this. I know for some of y'all it was like a super nerve-wracking experience, but I think y'all have amazing perspectives, and I think it's going to help people in our church. So, shameless plug to join groups.